Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We will go ahead and get started. If we'll call the roll.
Aguirre. Arambula. Campbell. Fletcher.
Here.
Frank.
Here.
Galvez.
Here.
Hall.
Here.
McClellan.
Here.
Montgomery.
iPhone locked in here.
Moreno. Salas.
Here.
Sankey.
Here.
Sotelo Solis. Ward. Weber.
Here.
All right. With that, we will call the meeting to order. Mr. Rambula is going to be unable to make it this morning, and Mayor Sotelo Solis should be here any moment. So we will go ahead with agenda item 2 and approval of the minutes from the December 12th meeting. Is there a motion?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries unanimously. We'll move on to non-agendized public comment. We have 5 requests to speak this morning. We will give each speaker 2 minutes. First up is Valerie Hightower. Welcome, Miss Valerie. You have a if you can go there and state your name for the record, and we'll start your time when you start talking.
Okay. In customer service, you have a wonderful person that represents the face of you guys, being that y'all don't ride these inner city buses. Her name is Marsha, and you guys need to bring her upstairs and commend her on the work. I've been dealing with Marsha for 10 years. Anytime I'm going somewhere new, she can tell me how to get there, where's the landmark and everything. She's wonderful. Second, dog bus passes. All them dogs ain't service dogs. You know, you got dogs that are full of fleas that are contaminating the buses. Now, in King County, Washington, they have what they call an ARCA card that is for the person and that dog that is not a service dog. Thank you for the vinyl seats on the trolley. When are you going to start running the number 4 bus route like you do every other route? That's the only bus route that you guys haven't increased the service on. And this is really jacked up. Second of all, would you explain to your new drivers, your security, what dual purpose means? Because one of them gonna get maced one day. The dual purpose is the emergency hatch that has a silver tag when you pop the hatch up that says dual purpose for emergency and fresh air. Being that y'all are ordering these buses with windows that don't open, there's ventilation needed, okay? Hidden disabilities. I have placed from C2 to 7 in my spine, which are hidden disabilities. Some of these drivers are wonderful, and these new ones, if they don't respect their mama, grandmama, or auntie, they ain't gonna respect nobody else. They need to respect the elder and take the time and let
Thank
them
you, ma'am. Down. Thank you so
and
much.
You guys really need to ride these inner city buses.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Your decision.
Thank you. Next up, Mr. James Anderson. You have 2 minutes, sir.
Greeting, board. Number of years ago, as you guys remember, we had the TOP. I wanted to give it some time, a couple years, to be able to have things iron out, see where it goes. Some of the changes were good. Some of them, however, have not been so good. We have routes in East County that are every hour, such as the one I take continuously, the 848, or as I like to call the 84 late, because it's always late. That needs to be adjusted. The 815, which was one of them that was adjusted from every 30 on the weekdays to every 15, needs to again be readjusted because we are overpacked on that route. I would say maybe down to every 9 to 11 minutes intervals. I question the fact of when planning says, oh, well, we're trying to improve the routes, for who? Financially for MTS or for the passengers? because I hear a lot of anger from the passengers in East County. And some of them are really afraid to speak up because they don't feel their voice is going to be heard. So I would really like to see another TOP planning meeting up here to basically try to figure out other ways to reform routes that I don't see are being improved. Frankly, I would like to see a few departments eliminated because I don't think they do well. So if we could possibly, you know, down the road discuss maybe having another TOP committee meeting, that would be great. And I'm pretty sure I can pull a few people that have complained to me about those routes out here.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Thank you very much. Next up, David Roger. After David will be Helen Bourne. Thank you, Mr. Roger. You have 2 minutes.
Yes. I'm here about MTS security. We've all seen on all the buses and all the everybody's the advertisements about how they're here to serve and protect us. I mean, kind of like the police department. Except San Diego MTS uses their security as revenue collection people. Anytime you call to need service, you get, well, as soon as we get an officer available, okay? So you're taking security people and making them revenue generators and issuing citations and, you know, all the things, doing revenue collection. Why doesn't MTS create a collections department and not use their security as revenue collection, actually have them provide security? You have way more than enough officers to be sitting at every one of your locations and being cordial to people and helping and being ambassadors to MTS, not the guys that went around checking. Why not give people without guns to go in and check? You know, you guys do surveys and have those people do checks. Why not have actual non-police officers checking your revenue and actually let your security be security? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roger. Next up is Helen Bourne. Thank you for being here this morning. You have 2 minutes.
Director, board members, morning. My name is Helen Bourne, and I'm a transit rider from Coastal North County. Living in Coastal North County, we're really socially deprived evenings and weekends. The coaster, the last one northbound, leaves at 5:10 or so. And, you know, even if we took the train downtown, we can't get back. So I came today to urge you to create your next rapid express route from downtown or Old Town, either one, Santa Fe Depot, around there, wherever, up to any destination Coastal North County, from Solana Beach to Oceanside, whatever. It, you know, the 235 Rapid Express is wonderful, but it leaves from Escondido. And it's an hour-long sprinter ride where I live, and then a local route 101, which about a half hour. So, and at night, it only runs on the hour after a certain time. So anyway, we really need a rapid route at night. I mean, I know that starting in April, maybe they'll put on another train, but still, we're sort of stuck, you know? And there's so much to do in the San Diego area. And yet, I really want to reduce my vehicle miles traveled. And all these cars on the freeway at night just to get where we're going, it doesn't need to be. So please think of us for the next rapid route.
Thank you, ma'am. Our last non-agendized public comment is Mr. Clive Richard. I do not see him. Come on in, sir. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Yeah, we're pleased to have you back. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Richard.
I was trying to find out when the schedules for the new trolley schedule was coming out. So I didn't hear my name, but what is this? What's buzzing? Okay, I can't hear. All right, quickly, Mr. Chairman, wanted to say I remembered you saying that Abraham Lincoln's speech was 2 minutes, and I tried to prepare myself for that.
You have a minute and 30 left.
But what I will remember, though, is that his purpose was to honor sacrifice, and my purpose is to try to persuade politicians that just because you have the resources doesn't mean you have to construct a project. I'm of the opinion that if a project costs $2 billion or more, it takes 20 years or more, it's probably not a project you should be investing in. I realize that everybody wants to have their name on a plaque outside of a major project. But I'm concerned that as you try to go to a two-thirds vote, you're not remembering that one-third plus one means you don't win. So you have to be very careful with what you do. I'm going to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln and say, I realize that this board will little note nor long remember what I say, but I do hope you remember, you have to count. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richard. That concludes agenda item 3, public comment. You need that? There you go. Thank you, sir. We'll move to agenda item 4. This is the election of the chair, the vice chair, the chair pro tem, and the committee assignments. I want to make one amendment to the draft in front of you. We are thrilled that Dr. Weber is now going to be our permanent representative, and so we will put her in the place of Dr. A, where he's present. I also want to point out to board members, we still have two open vacancies, SANDAG Regional Planning Committee alternate and SANDAG Transportation Committee alternate, if anyone is interested in those two. And then also, just remind the board, a lot of cities and jurisdictions are still making their decisions on who will serve on entities, and so it is very likely that this comes back in February for some adjustments and changes, but we just want to get a placeholder in place. We certainly want to get our vice chair and chair pro tem set. And so with that, we have two requests to speak on this item, and then we can hear any board comments. First up, Mr. Kelvin Barrios. Thank you for being here, Kelvin. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning, everybody. First off, I want to start off Kelvin Barrios with the Laborers Local 89. I'm a director there, and I'm here speaking on behalf of also my boss, business manager Valentin Macedo. Congratulations, Supervisor Nathan Fletcher, on becoming chair. We actually look forward to working with you and your leadership. And I also want to touch base. We appreciate the work that's been being done with Elevate and the conversations that are going on and the input that's being taken. We do feel that's going in the right direction. As far as the appointments today, we look forward to being able to work with what I hope would be Vice Chair Mayor Alejandra Sotelo Solis. We're fully in support of that. And just really quick on feedback, just on a personal observation, this board has changed a lot in just a very short time. I'm just looking around and just seeing the different faces here. When I worked for Georgette Gomez and she came on board, this was a totally different board, and I really appreciate the work that y'all are doing. It's not easy. There's never enough funding. We can always do more. But we appreciate the work that y'all are doing to try and make sure that we're getting people moving and getting people on using transit. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Next up, request to speak, Oscar Medina. Welcome, Mr. Medina, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Oscar Medina with the Environmental Health Coalition. I'm here to speak in support of Mayor Sotelo Solis' bid to be the next vice chair of MTS. Environmental Health Coalition is a nonprofit dedicated to achieving environmental and social justice. And while we work in various communities in San Diego and Tijuana, we are proud to be anchored in National City, where our office is located and where we've benefited from Mayor Sotelo Solis' leadership. The decisions made in this boardroom over the next year will have major implications for our regional greenhouse gas reduction goals and have the potential to transform our transit system to be more efficient, affordable, and equitable. Mayor Sotelo Solis would add value as vice chair during this critical period and our most disadvantaged communities, many of which rely on MTS service, would benefit from having her uplift their voices and concerns. She's an effective leader with a track record of getting things done. Please elect Mayor Sotelo Solis to be the next vice chair. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public comment. Do we have a motion to approve this rest of our recommendations?
We'll make a motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any board comments or discussion? No? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That carries unanimously. Again, with the understanding, it may come back for some tweaks in February. We're going to move to the consent item. I want to note that we're going to pull agenda item 12 will be pulled. That will be deferred until February. So we're going to remove that item from consideration. Do any board members have any items that they wish to pull or any comments that they wish to make on the consent calendar? Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second to approve the consent item. All in favor say aye. That motion carries unanimously. I'm going to defer closed session until we finish our informational items, and then we can move into closed session and be done. So with that, we will move to agenda item 45. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. Mr. Roger, you would like to speak on agenda item 15. I apologize for that.
As an outsider, looking at the MTS electric program and the electric buses, I know lots of people are really glad to see it, even though sometimes the senior management of MTS does not. It's really exciting to see that. And we're wondering, and we keep hearing and talking to people that MTS is testing. They're testing where they're putting the electric buses and they're moving them all around. And then I see on the agenda that you guys are going to spend just under $100,000 to put in a charging station. If you don't know where the buses are going, why would you be putting in an electric charging station if you're still testing what routes, what location, or where they're going to be? I would think you would actually find where your buses are going to be placed prior to spending $100,000 of public tax money. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we will move to agenda item 45. This is an informational item on the fair collection system. And we will welcome Israel and Rob to give us an update.
Board PowerPoint's right there. Mm-hmm. Double click.
There we go.
And right there. Well, good morning. My name is Israel Maldonado, and I'm the project manager responsible for the Init for System implementation on behalf of MTS. Today, I will provide you with an update on the implementation. We'll touch on the budget, the completed work, and upcoming timeline, at which point I will turn it over to Rob for the exciting branding presentation. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, as of today, the total estimated capital cost budgeted for the project stands at $36 million, of which we have spent 5.9 or 16% of the expected capital cost. We have officially paid 3 out of the 16 capital milestones to Init for a total of $4.6 million. This number will change in the next couple of days as we pay Init for the fourth milestone for final design that was just completed in December, on time, on schedule. The board approved contract to Init occurred right around last year, December 2018, for a total of $37.6 million. Just last month, the board approved amendment number 2 for a total increase of $1.09 million, bringing the new contract value to $38.7 million. Of the shared regional fare system cost, MTS is expected to pay 64%, while Sandag, through the Midcoast project and the BRT service operation, is expected to pay 12%. And North County is expected to pay 24% of the shared fare system cost. Here, I do want to provide some context as to North County joining the project. We still have not had an official agreement with North County to join the project, but they are working on pricing terms within it to do so shortly. Over the course of the last 12 months, we have made a lot of progress. During 2019, we completed 3 design phases, all of the design phases for the project: concept, preliminary, and final design. We also executed amendment number 2, which included the mobile ticketing application and the all-inclusive operations and maintenance. This agreement allows us to eliminate the in-app transaction fee paid to the developer, which should produce savings as the app utilization grows over the next 10 years. Amendment number 2 also included the parking solution for Midcoast. Of course, there is more work to be done, and 2020 is going to be a very important year. We will be finalizing several procurements designed to support the core project. Each of these procurements allows us to either anticipate risk, reduce future cost, or enhance the customer experience. The merchant services and payment gateway procurement allows us to process credit card payments. The fare collection and infrastructure refresh for bus allows us to have consistent fare box equipment across the fleet, which is not the case today. The construction for additional validators at high ridership, high transfer point stations ensures that we can provide accessible readers for customers to validate in the new system. We are also looking to redesign the validator to ensure that it can be future-proofed when it comes to our infrastructure out on the field and network connectivity. About half of our stations are fiber, half of our stations are copper, so we have to account for that. We will also be looking to request additional installation support for our ticket vending installation on the rail side, in order to ensure a rapid transition. We will also be looking to hire a qualified security assessor to audit our network architecture and our fare payments platform. This last bullet I'm particularly excited about because it allows us to increase our retail network footprint. Currently, we have about 60 locations, and this agreement would allow us to reach 400. And I'd like to share this first slide with you. This is our current footprint. And after this agreement is in place and implementation occurs, this is how our network would increase significantly. Some key upcoming tasks by the end of 2020, we are going to be engaged in factory and integration testing. There will be construction at key stations to increase validator sites. There will be installation of onboard components late this year and onboard the bus. And transition branding begins in full force. We expect to go live spring 2021. New ticket vending machines will be installed at first, concurrent with the Compass Card equipment. There will be significant customer outreach, including free distribution of new cards. Compass equipment will subsequently be turned off, and Midcoast will also open with all new equipment. But not everything is software development. Policy will need to fall in place as well. We will need to conduct a new fare study to make further changes to our regional fare ordinance, changes that include setting fare capping thresholds, eliminating the 30-day pass, and simplifying the structure even further. And we will continue to collaborate with our partners, Sandag and North County Transit District, to ensure that we conduct appropriate public outreach, hold public hearings, and update all publications and websites. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Rob for the branding presentation, and we'll do questions at the end.
Okay, thank you, Israel. I do want to give some kudos to Israel, because to get us to a final design stage on this has required thousands of hours, and believe me, my calendar has like thousands of hours blocked out on it. But, you know, it's involved every aspect of our operations, from revenue to customer relations, it's customer service, IT, finance, security. Everybody's been involved in this process. So it takes a lot of attention to detail, and Israel has certainly been a great project manager on that. I think a little bit of a reset is necessary, because what our next generation fair collection system is going to do is going to transform the way people interact with our system, and it's going to make it a lot easier for people to get on board. It's, you know, you have value on your card and you just tap and go and you always get your best fare. So it's just going to make the whole system more accessible and easier to ride for everyone, much more intuitive. We'll have online capabilities where you can check your balance, where you can add value to your card via your phone. So it's going to be really transformative for all of our riders, and I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity to attract new riders to our system. So, kind of, you know, marketing gets to do fun stuff. Israel's over here, you know, spending thousands of hours and doing tens of thousands of details, and marketing gets to come up with names and colors, you know. But I don't want to trivialize that effort, because I really do think this is a transformative moment for our agency. Gives us an opportunity to kind of rebrand our system and get people more involved. This is a six-month process. We engaged Civilian, which is our marketing firm of record. They hired Product Etc., which is a firm that specializes in brand development. And our own Quincy Marin has been very involved in the development of this. When we started the process, we identified the values that we want the brand to represent, and these are them. It's simple, intuitive, welcoming, dependable, dynamic, and vibrant. So, you know, when we're considering names and we're considering taglines, everything kind of relates back to this. If the name can deliver on those qualities, then we've got a winner. We did a lot of research too. We looked at all of the transit agencies across the country to see what they've done. We expanded this research into other top brands too to get the best practices. But you know, when we looked at this, one of the most important aspects was recognizing kind of the fabric of our vast region and having a having. Should I not? Yeah. Okay. So I do get excited about this stuff. What we wanted this card to represent too is all of the communities that make up San Diego, and have it representative of all of that. So that was one of our main goals too. So we considered a lot of names. This is the recommendation of our agency, and we really thought that this reflected what we wanted to convey about the system. Pronto is community inclusive. It's recognizable in multiple languages. It really does kind of signify what the system brings. It's fast and it's easy, it's, you know, the system is going to be fast to get on. It's going to be fast to access. So this name kind of represents all of that. The next challenge was to develop some colors, and this was kind of the easy one too. North County Transit District has been involved in this effort from the beginning. We combined their two our colors, our MTS red and the NCT blue, and you come up with the Pronto purple. When we did our research too, as Israel said, we're going to be in 400 locations. Our retail network is going to be huge. Our cards are going to be in all these locations. So when you look at all the end caps where all of the cards are displayed, this color is going to jump out. And when we combine it with some secondary colors, it's really going to, we're going to own that space on the end caps, and it's going to be recognizable. I mean, when you think about all of the stuff that the brand will encompass, it is those end caps. It's point of purchase. It's signage at stations. And so we're really looking for something that stands out. When we have, you know, I don't know how many validators we're going to have, but it's going to be essential for people to tap their cards when they transfer. And so we want something that will really stand out in the environment. So The next challenge was, okay, how does the Pronto name convey itself? And again, we really wanted, this is what we call the canvas approach, and we really wanted something that could reflect the diversity of our region. And so, as you'll see at the end of this presentation, we have an opportunity with the canvas approach to customize it for special events like Comic-Con. We can do for baseball, for community events. So there's an opportunity to take this Pronto canvas and customize it over the course of a year. We looked at how it was going to be applied to the website. Here's how Pronto can play out on the web. Here's how it can play out on the phone. So I think it is that vibrant look that gets people excited about using transit. We did do just some consumer testing. We went through all of our areas and asked people what they thought. We asked them to rate it against those values that we identified earlier. Additionally, we asked the people what they thought of the name Pronto, and that was overwhelmingly positive in that it was conveying exactly what we want to do in terms of fast, quick time, now, and soon. So that was very positive customer feedback. Here's how the Pronto name can look on various cards. And here's a couple of different looks on how we can customize these. And again, these are just very preliminary ways, but you can customize the Pronto name to reflect what's going on in the community and seasons and activities. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you both. Any board member comments, questions? Mr. Hall.
Were they going to have auto load on the... Will be auto load, so you know, I get down to $3,
yes,
and it would automatically,
yep,
reload.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there'll be like if the card gets down to below a certain amount, you can set that so it automatically reloads.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. I know when I go to Costco, they always want to tap my card and it doesn't work. So we will have working cards, I assume, on that one.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the presentation. You know, purple is also too for royalty. So that means that we are treating our customers as royalty. So very nice. I like that. The second thing that I just want to kind of along the lines of a previous question, will you be able to go online and reload?
Yes.
What are the capabilities?
Yes.
7-Eleven, where all of the options, can you list them, what we're thinking?
So the options to reload would be obviously the mobile ticketing app, the website, and
so
then at the retail network, you can get the card or bring your own if you bought it at a ticket vending machine and then reload it there.
Okay.
And at ticket vending machines too.
And at ticket vending machines too, of course.
Sure,
yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Councilmember Moreno.
How are we going to treat the teen cards any different? The reason I bring that up is I think a year ago I brought it up to the board. When I tried to get a teen card for my niece, it was so difficult. She had to be present with me. I see that the amount of locations that you have, that is really good news. But I was concerned because there are communities that don't have supermarkets. So it's very difficult for moms and dads or aunts, tias, to get cards for our teens. I think we ended up going two or three times before she was able to get her teen card. We could not purchase it online. And I just think that, I mean, I don't have any proof of this, but my gut is telling me that there are a lot of teenagers with adult cards that are paying a higher price essentially because, you know, mom was coming late from work and, you know, she had to go and grab her teen and go to Big Ben in National City to get her card. And, you know, there's so many variables to getting teen cards, and I think we should make it more accessible. That's my point. And so what are we doing to fix that?
So I'll speak on the functionality and then. So one of the things that's different on this system is that in the current system, the actual card holds its rider class. And once it holds it, you can't change it. It has to be preset in there. In the new system, the rider class can be modified in the back office through the cloud. So it allows us other functionality depending on policy and restrictions, et cetera. A customer could, in theory, get a hold of a regular traditional card. Mm-hmm. It would not say necessarily adult on there. And they could, through an online portal that we're working on, be able to submit the documentation needed, and then through the process qualify for that discounted fare. So we're trying to automate as many of the processes that are efficient for this purpose. Of course, there's always other processes that have to be done on paper, more intricate discounts, but for the age-based ones that can be proved fairly easily, we're working on that online capability.
Okay, so my niece is gonna buy a card, a regular purple card, and through the online system, she's gonna be classified as a teenager.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's good. We need to continue to work on that. Also, and I appreciate that, we had also, if my memory serves me, we had also talked about potentially collaborating with the school district, primarily San Diego Unified, to help disperse these cards at, you know, to make it more readily available for our youth passengers. Is that something we're still doing?
We are still working on that. We do have a partnership with Coronado High. We've approached all of the school districts. It's a little bit difficult to get traction, but we've offered each of the schools to disperse cards for youth that that enable them then to go online and load them. But we provide the cards to the schools for free. They can distribute the cards to the youth. But frankly, we might need some help to get some traction there.
I would absolutely be more than happy to help. I don't know what the ridership in Coronado is, but my gut tells me, Coronado, my gut tells me it's probably not as high as, say, National City, Chula Vista, you know, District 4. And if this is the time where we say our opinions on what we saw, the blue kind of hurts my eyes.
Okay.
On the card. So that's my feedback. It's beautiful, and the purple's beautiful. I agree with it, but the blue kind of hurts my eyes. So that's my feedback. Thanks. But thank you. Thank you for this, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilmember. I'm guessing your niece would love the Youth Opportunity Pass as well. That would be even better for her. So if we're successful in Elevate, I think we can do a lot for youth. Councilmember Galvez.
Thank you. The use of the photos on the cards brings up a whole series of questions. And have you started to think about policies about the use of the photos on the cards?
Was there a question there? I'm sorry.
Cards, just what kind of policies or thoughts do you have about when photos are used, how replacements are given, when they're required, how they're uploaded and obtained? Mm. I mean, there's just a whole lot of complications involved. And if they'll be required for everyone.
Well, we are working on the portal that will allow people to upload their information, and they can upload a picture at the same time when they got a replacement. If they wanted one with a picture, then you could do that where it automatically fed it in. The nice thing about pictures, you know, we've seen a lot of seniors coming down. They don't want to pull out their Medicare card or they don't want to carry things like that when they ride the system. They just don't feel safe. So having your own card with a picture on it that's not as hard to get a replacement on is very positive for them. So we would like to continue to offer that as an amenity for people who don't want to have to carry alternate identification.
For the discounted fares. Yeah. Thank you. Councilmember Montgomery.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question. It's really cool. It looks like a lot of the thought has gone into collaboration between NCTD and us, yet you did mention that there is no agreement. So where is that?
So what had happened, they've been involved with the whole process since the beginning, as has SANDAG. They've been attending all our meetings. They've been talking with us about what the scope is and et cetera. What had happened was they were concerned that they hadn't had enough time to think of what are the variants in their own system, because, you know, they have zones on the coaster, for instance. That's a totally different type of thing. And so they wanted to find out from, and another thing that they do is they currently have a contractor do their revenue collection and things like that, and ticket vending machine maintenance. We do that ourselves in-house. So they were still trying to mull over, you know, what aspects of the system are going to be different for them than what we have purchased. And so that's where they were in negotiations within it on those little one-offs, the things okay. that aren't in our current system. Israel had a very good conversation with NCTD this week. They're ready to finalize. I think the go date is the 22nd. They've got to say we're in, but they're basically there. It's just that nuance that has been going on.
And from a technical perspective, as we've gone through every single design phase, we've incorporated North County, and we've tried building the system to be as nimble and flexible as possible to incorporate all of their requirements. We're lucky that we're so close. We, in essence, manage the fare system for them, that we understand a lot of their needs, but of course, we can't make all the decisions for them. But we have built a system to move forward to incorporate their equipment and their business rules as well.
Okay, well, when they sign on the dotted line, it'll make me happy. Thanks.
We do have an agreement in terms of cost sharing, but going forward, we structured it that they have to pay for everything that they need. And so before we turn that light on, they're gonna have to agree to the cost sharing and make some payments too.
Yeah. Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Just a quick comment and follow-up question. I think that preventing folks who receive a discount because of their medical condition is really good, so that they're not hauling around their medical documents all the time. I think that's really good. But you mentioned that some folks that have a more involved process with the discounted rates might not be able to do it online. Can you explain that a little bit further?
There's just additional, we call internally the long form discounted fares, where there's also currently a process through our paratransit site that is more involved. There's interviews, things like that. That would remain as is. And we can provide you some further information on that particular sector. But that's what I meant. The areas that aren't necessarily part of the fixed route element.
But so, they would, I guess, in the beginning, but once they acquire the car, they
sure,
wouldn't
yeah.
have
sure,
to go and do
correct.
That.
They would just, still be able to,
okay,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because that would
of course.
Sense.
Yeah, it's a different certification process. If you have a Medicare card or you are SSI or SDI, you can automatically get it, and it's a rubber stamp on our – same thing with the DMV placard. Those are all rubber stamp. There's a very small population that actually have to get a medical certification, and those are the ones that are – we're still working out the details on how we're going to handle those.
Okay.
But it's a very small portion of the overall discounted pass program.
Okay, thank you. And just a quick comment on the aesthetic of the card. I really like the word, pronto. It's good. It reflects our diversity. I want to agree with Councilmember Moreno about the color and the font, actually. It's a little bit 80s in my view. And we're also an ocean-driven, you know, community, so I would love to see, I know that you did the water, that's cool, but maybe like a wave or something would be super cool to reflect our community too. That's it. Thank you.
Maybe bring some different variations that we can socialize amongst the board as we finalize that would be really good. Yeah. It looked like the Miami Vice font. Not that I watched that show when I was a kid, right? I'm like waiting for Crockett and Tubbs to pop up. So yes, Councilmember Hall.
You know, we just did this when we did our branding. And you know, everybody's got their suggestions. And it's really hard to decide where you're going to do it. So, I think we need to go through the process because it's funny that, I made the comment, let's pull up Vistaprint and, you know, design it as we go. But they said, we're not going to do that. But, you know, there are ways, I think we'll trust you guys for the time being and then go from there at that point.
Thank you. All right. Any other, seeing no other comments, no action to take there, informational item. Thank you. Thank you both very much for your hard work on this. I think there's a lot of excitement to move forward. We'll move to agenda item 46, operations budget status report. This is an informational item only, does not require any board action, but we want to provide a budget update. All right, floor is yours.
All right, good morning. My name is Gordon Meyer. I'm the operating budget supervisor here at MTS, and this morning we're going to cover the operating budget results through the first 5 months of the fiscal year, or November 2019. So on the first slide here, we have a look at our operating revenues through the first 5 months. So fare revenue through November, we had actuals of $40.5 million versus a budget of $40.3 million, resulting in a favorable variance of about $144,000 or 0.4%. So on the topic of fare revenue, our revenue was favorable to the prior year by $1.7 million or 4.3%. Our ridership during that same period was favorable to the prior year by 1.3 million passengers or 3.4%. So on this topic, it's important to note that both our October and November fare revenues were short of our targets after the fare change, as we'll look at in a little more detail on the next slide. So the next line here, we have our other operating revenue. So through November, we had actuals of about $7.6 million versus a budget figure of $7.1 million, resulting in a favorable variance of about $474,000 or 6.7%. So all in all, that favorable variance there was primarily due to favorable experience within our administration cost centers, and that's due to our favorable energy credits, interest revenue, and then also advertising revenue. So all in all, our operating revenues were favorable by $618,000 or 1.3% through the first 5 months. So I wanted to go into a little bit of detail on the results, or on the recent fare change. So as a reminder, it went into effect on September 1st, 2019. And some of the major components included increasing the day pass from $5 to $6, increasing the senior and disabled monthly pass from $18 to $23. We also reduced the youth monthly pass from $36 to $23. We added a $3 discounted day pass for SDM and youth, and we also increased the one-way fare for bus from $2.25 to $2.50, and that was primarily to standardize with the one-way trolley fare. So our methodology going into the FY20 budget development was that based on the fare consultant's projection, we budgeted increases in day pass revenue, adult monthly pass revenue, cash fares, and senior disabled monthly pass revenue based on the increases in prices that are detailed above. We also budgeted decreases in youth pass revenue due to the reduction in price from $36 to $23. So all in all, we budgeted a net impact of $4.3 million in additional passenger revenue over the FY19 levels, specifically related to the fare change. So on this slide, we have a chart view of our budget to actuals for passenger revenue over the first 5 months of the fiscal year. So you can see in July, we had a good month. We were favorable to budget by about $200,000. In August, we were favorable by almost $300,000. And then in September, which was the first month of the fare change, we were fairly close to budget. We were about $50,000 favorable. And then in October and November, the script changed a bit, and we were unfavorable in both months by about $180,000 each month. So to elaborate on the results, so the revenues from September to November, which is the fare change months, we were lower than our fare consultants' projections by about $370,000, and that shortfall was due to a greater reduction in day pass volumes than anticipated by the Fair Consultants model. So if we jump down to the table at the bottom, you can see where we ended in each major fare category over the first 3 months versus the Fair Consultants projections. So our cash fares, we did better than the projection by about 406,000. Day pass fares, we were short by over 1.2 million versus the projection. Adult monthly pass revenue, we were very close to the projection. We were favorable by about 17,000. SDM monthly, we were unfavorable by roughly 49,000 versus the model. The youth monthly passes, we did better than expected, and we were favorable by about 181,000. And then college passes, we were favorable to the model and the projection as well by about 324,000. So when you roll that up, we were short of the Fair Consultants projection by about 367,000. And this is something we'll be continuing to watch closely. We just started the mid-year budget season, so we'll be taking a deep look at this over the next month. So moving on to our year-to-date expenses. So personnel costs, we were unfavorable by 208,000 or 0.4%. That was primarily due to unfavorable experience in directly operated bus operator and maintenance wages. Purchase transportation, we were favorable by 930,000 or 2.7%. And that was primarily due to favorable passenger volumes on our paratransit side. And then we also had favorable performance bonuses and standby hours for our regular fixed route service. Other outside services, we were unfavorable by 750,000 or 6.7%. And that's primarily due to unfavorable experience in administration related to our fare change expenses. That's our cubic expenses. Security expenses, we did an unplanned increase to armed officers earlier this year that was not included in the budget to help them retain employees. So we've been negative there as well. And then also we've been trending at a higher run rate for our ballot measure expenses than originally planned. The next line, we have our energy. We were unfavorable 184,000 or 1.4%. And that is primarily due to unfavorable CNG expenses, primarily our SDG&E transportation rate went up higher than expected. So our other expenses, we were unfavorable by over $1 million or 10.7%. And that is almost entirely our materials and supplies cost in for both bus and rail, specifically our revenue vehicle parts. So when we roll that up together,
real quick on that. If you can go back one slide for me. So just to put those in context, but we're still net operating expenses within 1% of where we targeted to be, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So rolling up, we had favorable revenues of 618,000 and our operating expenses were unfavorable by a little over 1.2 million, resulting in a total combined net operating variance of 607,000 or 0.8%. So lastly, we have a slide on our ongoing concerns. So the first line, we have our regional sales tax receipts. So this is at the regional level, but it impacts both our TDA and our Transnet revenues. We are projecting regionally to be favorable by about $10 million. STA, so we have our base formula, which was the portion that was passed before the gas tax, and we're expecting to pick up about $400,000 there. The SB1 portion, which was the gas tax portion, we're expecting to pick up about $300,000. So all in all for STA, we're projecting to pick up about 700,000 versus the original budget, and that's based on the most current revision of the governor's state budget. So passenger levels, we are forecasting at this point to end favorably for the year based on our current trend so far. Energy prices, we've been close to date for CNG, but we are projecting to be unfavorable through the end of the year. We just got a notification a couple weeks ago from SDG&E that our transportation rate would be increasing another 28%. It increased 40% last year, so that's going to increase that rate through the end of the year. Propane, we've been favorable year to date so far, and we are projecting to remain favorable there through the end of the year. Diesel, we've been very close to budget at 270. Gas, we have been unfavorable year to date, and we are projecting to remain unfavorable. And then on the electricity side, we've actually been slightly favorable on the rate so far, and we are projecting at this point to remain at budget. That concludes the presentation. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer those now.
I just have one quick one. So on the fair one, back on slide 5, so essentially three of them we did better than projected. One of them was essentially right on target, and then two were a little bit less than projected, right?
Correct.
Okay. Great. Any board member comments, questions? Paul?
Just some very high-level analysis. We want more data before we really start to look at it. But I think a couple of trends we may be seeing is that, and this probably has to do with unemployment, et cetera, that people are getting away from day pass and going more to monthly passes because it's a better deal. But secondly, the difference with only having a cash fare of $250 and a day pass now of $6, two one-way tickets is $5 as opposed to $6. So that's why you're seeing the cash fares go up too. So we're watching all those, and we'll see, hopefully draw some more conclusions as we get some more data.
Great, thank you. Thank you all very much for the presentation. We're gonna move quickly. Agenda item 59, Elevate. Since our last board meeting on December 12th, our public participation through the Elevate process has definitely continued. Obviously the board, December 12th, developed staff to kind of develop a hybrid of the scenarios. And we got considerable input from the board, and we've been working through each of those to incorporate that. And I would encourage board members, as you have additional thoughts or concerns or suggestions on that, to continue to provide that feedback to MTS staff or to myself so that we can continue to incorporate that. We're also getting additional feedback we got from the public comment and our community advisory committee. We had a community advisory committee meeting last night. We have an environmental working group meeting tonight. We have an education working group meeting next week. We met with our labor coalition and folks. And so we're continuing to engage the scenarios and the thoughts on potential expenditure plans to get feedback and input to kind of shape our thoughts as a board as we move forward. We have polling, just a round of polling that we're about to embark upon. And so we'll be sharing that as well. We plan to present both the findings of that, along with the additional input we've gotten from our working groups at our workshop on February 1st. We also have a planned webinar in February to get feedback, and then we'll continue to engage the public. We have a transit center outreach series. We have additional community events in March, and along with the regular working group feedback and input. So the Elevate process continues, and I appreciate all the board feedback in December, and as you have any additional thoughts, please just make sure you get that to her sooner. Sooner is good. Sooner is better than later. As we try to come up with one plan. Item 60, Chair's Report. I just want to update the board on one item. The Alvarado Creek issue has been one that we have been grappling with for some time. MTS had given direction in terms of our willingness to be a partner with the city and with other partners in trying to resolve that issue of the floodplain. The city had come back with something that wasn't very workable. And so we as a board kind of decided to take a pause. We had a good meeting with Councilmember Sherman, with the mayor and other folks. And I think the city is back in a more productive mindset in terms of how we may partner. And so now we are working together on some potential planning and some potential things that we may do. And so I think we still have a ways to go. But I think those conversations are back on a positive track and headed in the right direction. So I wanted to update everyone on that. Item 61, Paul, do you have anything?
No, just is at your desks. So please take that and share it. It's a nice winter publication.
With no additional public comment, our next meeting date will be February 13th, 2020. We will, as a board, go into closed session now to address those items, and then thank you all for being here.
Reporting out of closed session, item number 24A, closed session conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation, Christine Hall versus MTS. The board received a report from legal counsel and gave instructions. Item number 24B, closed session public employee performance evaluation and conference with labor negotiators regarding this chief executive officer. The board conducted a performance evaluation and gave instructions to its designated negotiating rep. On item number 24C, closed session conference with real property negotiators and anticipated litigation for one potential case regarding Baja California Railroad and the Desert Line lease, the board received a report and gave instructions to negotiators and legal counsel. On item number 24D, closed session conference with real property negotiators regarding the property located at 8733 Cuyamaca Street, the board received a report and gave instructions to negotiators.